Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Great to have you, a Monday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, we will get you to Chicago shortly. Central Nebraska Superstation, ESPN 1460, 1550's Doug Duda. Doug will put his brat down for a second and catch up with us, and we'll talk Big Ten Media Days, day one. Charlie McBride next hour. Brandon Vogel from Chicago. And we'll also get caught up with the Southeast Lincoln director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Robbie Trent. And we'll spend some time remembering Sam Foltz as the year anniversary of his passing yesterday. Robbie Trent was in studio with us a year ago with a couple of Husker players as the shocking news. So a year later, We'll spend some time with Robbie Trent. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House allows you to do that on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning, and can email us, Chris at Hail Varsity. com. A lot to get to. Here's who got in front of the microphones today. Of course, Paul Chris, Tom Allen of Indiana, Lovey from the Illini, Durkin from Maryland, D'Antonio from Sparty, Kirk Ferentz, and yes, Urban Meyer. Nebraska tomorrow. Hail Varsity full court pressing Chicago tomorrow as well with Mike Riley. I think Riles will go at 9 tomorrow, around 9, and you'll have that, you'll hear that, I believe, here on ESPN 101.5 and 1480 in Lincoln. So excited about that. Okay, so media days are here. There's not been a ton of bullet point material, except from Urban Meyer. He was asked about the Big Ten and the SEC, and this also was a topic regarding Sports Illustrated. Where's the SEC? Where's the Big Ten? Who's the best? Or if you're a Top Gun fan, who's the best of the best? I forget what the trophy was called. Goose made some comment about the other pilots having life and family issues growing up.
I haven't seen that one. So
you've not seen Top Gun?
Nope.
Okay.
Chalk it up.
I'm going to have to get this thing laminated and in ink before you say goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay? Movies TJ needs to see. The best of the best. Well, is the Big Ten in it? Well, yeah, they're in it, but have they surpassed the mighty SEC? We'll get into where Nebraska is in all of this, but to Urban's response today at Media Days about where the Big Ten's at versus the SEC and some other leagues.
Well, I don't think there's a gap at all. And that's no disrespect to other conferences. You know, to give my opinion on other conferences or when I hear that, that's, I have no idea. But I've done, and I've coached in the SEC East when that was one of the strongest in the country. And I think the Big Ten East right now is every bit as strong as I can remember the SEC East. I thought recruiting, I was shocked at the disrespect the Big Ten had in 2012. I don't feel that at all anymore. I feel a great amount of respect nationally about the Big Ten. You sit and look at the national recruiting rankings and you see the Big Ten everywhere, all over the place, and that's the way it should be. So there's a lot of credit to be given, obviously, to the administrations that invest in their programs and to the coaching staffs that are out there doing the work. And this is as tough a conference as there is.
Thank you, Urban. And you knew it was coming. You needed a guy like Urban Meyer to join the Big Ten. He did. Michigan followed suit with Harbaugh. D'Antonio's been doing it for 11 years. James Franklin How do you win 9 games at Vanderbilt? I don't know, but he did. Now he joins Penn State. And Coach DiNardo, every time he was on, we're talking 3, 4, 5 years ago leading up, that was the change the conference needed. You get one elite coach, it's going to be copycat time. Over to the West, Wisconsin's had transition, but they've plugged in guys who understand the Nebraska Barry Alvarez blueprint. Nebraska's made a coaching change. Nebraska's invested in assistants and invested in recruiting spending. They're trying to play keep up with the Joneses when it comes to high-profile talent getting in here. Iowa's got their same dude. They're 2 years removed from 12-2. Northwestern's been as good as they've ever been when it comes to talent acquisition. They've got some facilities now. And it kind of comes all back to the TV deal the Big Ten's got, how much money's rolling in for schools. Purdue could be different with Brohm. Illinois's got a former Super Bowl participant as their head coach. The Big Ten and the schools in the conference have invested in getting better coaches, and that has turned into better performance. That has turned into playoff or New Year's Day 6 appearances. And Urban Meyer does not believe that there is a gap. Do you? Does the Big Ten, are they second banana to anybody anymore? On a grand scale, you look top to bottom, or do you think there is some difference? Let's talk about conference strength for a second, Teach. Okay, yeah, the Pac-12, here's who finished ranked. And these teams all had double-digit wins last year. USC, Washington, Stanford, Colorado, Utah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good conference. Teams. ACC, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, the U, Louisville. I mean, Louisville finished ranked worst out of anybody in the ACC at 9-3 or 9-4. But did they ever pulverize Florida State? Did they almost beat Clemson on the road? Yes. Did they have some hiccups? They did. Okay. The SEC had Bama, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn. Then here's the Big Ten. Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan. All four of them finishing in the top 10. And then you can talk about Iowa, Michigan State, Nebraska as those fringe teams that were 9 or 10 wins in. So if you're talking depth top to bottom, I think the SEC West is really in trouble. That was always what that's the go-to. That's the murderer's row. That's the conference that if you go 4-4 or 3-5, that's a good year. And right now, what are they down to? You got Easy Ed at LSU. Not the Mad Hatter anymore. Time will tell if that was a good decision, because damn it, 8-4 wasn't good enough anymore. A&M's been very average at 8-5. Mississippi State won 4 or 5 games last year, 5-7, I think, post-DAC. Ole Miss is still burning, because no matter what you thought of you Freeze, the guy could recruit. His tactics to do so may be in question, but he got talent in, and they beat Bama 2 out of 3 times. So Ole Miss was good. Now they're in search of, because they've got an interim. And Arkansas, they've been close, but not quite. And then there's Auburn. Auburn could be really good this year, but Auburn's been that up or down team. There's been very few years where they're middle at 8-5 or 9-4. They're either really good or they're just kind of scratching and clawing to be consistent. And the SEC West is down. The SEC East, Florida, great defense, no offense. Georgia, you're waiting to see. Georgia could be awesome, but we say that every year. South Carolina's been not so impressive post-Spurrier, right? They had a 5-year run and then bottom fell out. Tennessee, 9 or 8 wins, great, but they don't take care of the big one in their own conference to get to an SEC championship game. Missouri, far cry from what they are. So I'm making a case that the SEC is weaker. What I would say might be closer to the SEC now, I think the Big Ten is the best because of its depth.
Okay.
But I think the ACC, can we say the ACC is better than the SEC now?
Ooh. So when I compare conferences, to me, depth is a huge part of it, and I think the ACC is more top-heavy than the SEC
now. Would you agree that the Big Ten, though, when it comes to their conference, the worst team in the league is who?
Rutgers.
Sure. And yeah,
Illinois, Purdue.
Are they going to get better?
No. And I'm maybe not as down as much on the SEC West as you are. To me, most of those guys at LSU are still Les Miles guys. They obviously still need to find a quarterback, but I think there's still a ton of talent on that team.
Oh, they're still good.
Jared Stidham, I think, will really help at Auburn. Mm-hmm. The Baylor transfer there with Gus Malzahn. Look, being
Let's be straight. Ed's a bad year away from being fired, and he just got here.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus has been burning his tush.
For sure.
Okay.
And I don't think going 8-5, 9-5 as A&M does in the SEC West is all that bad, because I think it's pretty talented.
No, I think you need to realize who you are. That said, it ain't good enough for A&M. They'll look elsewhere.
No. And I agree with Urban Meyer. I think the gap is close. Like, if you want to put the Big Ten first or the SEC first and Big Ten second, like, I don't have a problem with that. But just looking at the depth, and we're in the Big Ten area, so we get to see a lot of teams, and it's just, okay, the Big Ten West is usually not that great. Like, is it as the same part as the SEC East? Like, are the teams in the bottom, Rutgers, Illinois, Purdue, are they just as bad or worse than Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina? I'm not necessarily sure, because
no,
we watch those games closer. So
I think when you lay out, I mean, Kentucky went to a bowl last year. Vandy's got great defense because it's Stanford defensive coordinator, Mason, that's there. And South Carolina could be an 8 or 9 win team again, because they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So when I still think about it, I think I might just give a slight edge to the SEC just because of the overall depth.
Okay.
But if the Big Ten,
you have convinced me that you really, the worst in the SEC still isn't as bad as Rutgers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Purdue and Illinois, are they better? Do they upset somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I think your team's ready to kind of climb.
I gotta see about Maryland, man. I know, like, Vogel's high on them, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, we'll let you hear from Coach Durkin here in a second. The thing about Michigan State, because just think of that 1-4 punch: Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Can Michigan and Michigan State coexist and be 8-9 or better every year? Don't know. But the bottom that dropped out with Michigan State, is that going to be what's common? Are you going to have a second or third place team fall back routinely in the Big Ten? I don't know. Because what you don't have is a team like that in the SEC West. Usually, I mean, you're going to have Bama, but you know it's either going to be likely Auburn or Ole Miss. And now, who finishes second in the West? And really, who finishes second in the Big Ten East? That's my question. I mean, if Penn State's good enough to go 10-2 and split with Michigan and Ohio State, then they're New Year's Day 6 bound.
Mm-hmm.
Can Ohio State go unscathed? They maybe, but they're good enough to be an 11-win squad. I think Michigan State jumps up. As young as they are, I think the old school culture gets in there. Michigan doesn't have a lot of studs at all, but I think there's some talent there. So I think they could all beat up on each other. Mm-hmm. That was a badge of honor in the SEC. It's going to be the new reality in the Big Ten.
So I think we'd probably both agree, maybe overall depth SEC, but definitely the Big Ten is more top heavy with better teams. But you also can't go 3-7 in the bowl season like you did last year and be considered the best conference.
No,
it just doesn't work that way.
I just think the ACC is, because you can sprinkle in Notre Dame as a part-time friend, and I just think a lot of places, no interest in playing Louisville, no interest in playing Florida State, soon no interest in playing Miami. Clemson won the championship, beat Bama. Pretty impressive. So do you think the Big Ten has not just closed the gap, but taken over pole position when it comes to the best conference in college football? You heard from Urban Meyer at Big Ten Media Days right there, and he says, what gap? And he spent time in the SEC East, so that's what he spoke of specifically. Let's go to the phones real quick with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
We got John.
John, welcome in. Go ahead, bud.
Hi, guys. Hey, in the NFL draft in the springtime, Urban Meyer's take wouldn't hold water because the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 were all sent more guys to the NFL mm-hmm. than our conference did.
But did anyone outperform Ohio State when it comes to NFL draft picks?
I don't have it by school. I just looked by conference.
Right.
So that's a good question.
I mean, I think the way Urban was looking at it, and he didn't say it for it being Ohio State, but he probably applied the Ohio State factor when talking about that gap, and he probably is like, you know, we don't hold a second place to anybody. I think Clemson's a tough argument, though. That's why I'm kind of higher on the ACC, how they've all risen up. I think the Big Ten's pretty good. Putting guys in the NFL, though, man, I mean, yeah, you can't really argue or debate the SEC. You can't because of the talent around those areas and the track record of it. So, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
All right. So, the Big Ten, pretty confident, feeling good. And one of their big dogs that have had 11 wins, 5 of the last 7 seasons, Michigan State, they were 3-9 last year. Where's Nebraska fit into this? You know, is Nebraska still a factor in the Big Ten? We'll spend some time talking about it. We'll head to Chicago. Doug Duda on the way with Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
That I do. We're less than an hour away from Blackshirt McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Doug Duda from Chicago shortly. Duggers is, I think, doing an interview that he'll have on Doug and Daddy for you tomorrow. Your chance coming up here at a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Your chance right now to go see your friends at Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang. It's Sauter Heyman. Let me tell you about Pure Grown Diamonds. Now, Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of Pure Grown Diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth, and all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, except they're less expensive, and they're so beautiful. They're also eco-friendly. 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds, and go see Rick and see why Pure Grown Diamonds are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Pure Grown Diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com.
So we were talking about, as the gap closed between the Big Ten and SEC, is Big Ten possibly the best conference in the nation? We had John Cullen talking about NFL draft picks, of course, this past...
How do you measure it? Is it championships? Is it playoff appearances?
It's a culmination of a lot of things.
Is it overall record? Is it head-to-head? Is it bowl record? What say you as a college football fan? What tips the scales? There's 50 ingredients in this thing, mm-hmm. right? But what's most important to you? Is it who goes to the league? Is it head-to-head, like Wisconsin beating LSU last year? Is it Bama getting thumped by Zeke and company 2 years ago? I mean, there's 100 different ways. What comes down to my criteria is, how do you do in the big ball games, in your conference big games? How do you do in non-conference? And who you meet is who you meet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is where I go with it. You have a 31-0 blowout loss to Clemson. If you're Ohio State, didn't look good, didn't feel good. You had the game, you were up double digits against Penn State, you couldn't close the deal, you let that slip away. Now, Clemson had all the answers, couldn't be stopped, beat Alabama, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter against the Tide. No one does that. I think if you had all the fourth quarter points throughout the season, you doesn't add up to 21. Clemson did it because they were on fire and that talented. So I spent a couple minutes on the ACC. I go back to how close the game was against a Louisville for Clemson, how close the game was against Florida State. So your champion right now doesn't necessarily mean they come from the best conference, although I think the ACC is picking up steam. And depending on how things rock, you could see the SEC dare I say, move into third place if someone doesn't jump up and become sexy next to Bama. I think the ACC could make a move. But I think overall, even with Rutgers there, the ugly relative, Rutgers, top to bottom, you're still pretty good. We'll get Doug Duda's thoughts on this. We'll get Doug Duda's thoughts on the world of college football from Chicago. And your host of Doug and Daddy, ESPN 1460, 1550. We're proud to be on those stations, Central Nebraska's Superstation. Doug Duda with us now in Chicago. Mr. Doug, you haven't ran off to the ballpark yet, have you?
No, Schmitty, these afternoon games, they kill us. They're supposed to be playing Monday night so we can go to Wrigley or over to White Sox ballpark like we did last year.
No, I know. How is Chicago, man? How was your day? Who'd you talk to?
Well, you know what? Were you when you were out here a couple of years ago? So we were set up in that exact same spot. Mm-hmm. So it's way better than it was last year from that. Today, seven schools obviously came in. But what makes our job a little bit easier is when a school like Penn State, Minnesota, even the Huskers have showed up here and they spent a little time here ahead of their scheduled day tomorrow. But obviously, Ohio State and Wisconsin were both here today, and that's who the preseason favorites are. So they were both here today.
What was the vibe there? Did you talk to any Badgers or any Buckeyes?
Got a chance to talk to some of the Wisconsin kids, first team all conference tight end Troy Fujimali, really good guys. I know that some of the fans that have been up to Wisconsin have run into some bad experiences up there, but I think the Badgers, and we talked to Barry Alvarez just a little bit ago too. They do it right. They are Nebraska now. What they're doing now is old Nebraska, and I think that makes us a little jealous, and we can't figure out why, because we don't think Wisconsin is that much better, and they haven't played for a national championship, but boy, they keep winning the West, and it's hard to figure out a way that they're not going to do it again this year. I know Nebraska fans don't want to feel that, and I think Nebraska can beat Wisconsin in Lincoln just from the fact that they're due, and that Wisconsin talent isn't that much better. But their schedule's a little bit easier after the toughest schedule in the country last year. They got a lot of talent coming back. Unless something weird happens, they have to be ruled as the favorite.
Well, I mean, the quarterback, they haven't had a great quarterback since Russell, so that's not been part of the equation. They've had a don't screw it up guy in there versus a go win it for me guy, and it's been their defense, and it's been their run game, and it's been their linemen, and it's worked well. And Coach Alvarez, you know, he's as good as it gets because it is the Nebraska model. He knows what's going to win. He knows how to build depth, and he knows how to go hire guys that get and see and will follow his vision. And they just kind of replace the name on the door, but the system stays the same. With Wisconsin and Ohio State and the league overall, Doug, what do you think? Is the Big Ten now the best conference in college football? Urban was asked that today. We played some of that sound. And, you know, he said, what gap between the SEC and the Big Ten? I think the ACC is on the move, but I think the Big Ten's top to bottom, aside from Rutgers, pretty solid, pretty good, and they performed at a high level.
Well, as we've prepped for this entire month of July to get ready for the college football season, the one thing that I even surprised myself is how many teams have more talent coming back, more returning starters coming back than I ever remember. And somebody like a Minnesota, they won 9 games last year. They might be better this year, but can they win 9 games again? It's one of those scenarios. Mm-hmm. You got to think Rutgers is going to be, or Maryland or Illinois is a little bit better, but is that going to translate into wins? They can't all be better. Mm-hmm. And if Hornibrook goes down for Wisconsin, they are hosed, Schmitty, because their next three guys are a redshirt freshman and two true freshmen. They have no depth at quarterback. So that's the number one thing that could mess Wisconsin up if that happens. But I think Penn State needs a little more love. Everybody wants to push them off to the side. They're going to be awesome, man. They are going to be awesome. Penn State, Ohio State could be two of the best four teams in the country.
No, they easily could have last year both gone to the playoff, and they could this year. Penn State got hot. Now it's time to show that they're that good versus getting hot at the right time. Doug Duda with us, Hail Varsity Radio in Chicago. Let's talk Michigan State. We'll have some of Coach D'Antonio's comments here shortly. What's your reaction? Do they jump back to that 7-8 win number? He had 9 freshmen that had to play major snaps a year ago. And it seems to me they kind of got back to their old blue-collar ways this offseason. And as they head into camp, they kind of got fat and happy after the playoff appearance. And, oh, yeah, their confidence may have gotten worked over a bit, too, by getting crushed like they did against Alabama. So they didn't really have a transfer of leadership. Are they better this year?
They're young. We talked today with Brian Allen, who's the starting center at Michigan State. They've got nine seniors, Chris.
That's it.
They've got nine seniors. And doing some research on what really did happen to Michigan State last year, I think every school at some point can relate with this. They didn't have any leadership. They come off that Big Ten championship, and they did not mesh as a unit. And that's something that doesn't get talked about in press conferences or at practice, because that's just going to tear you apart. You don't talk about that. But it sounds like that's really kind of what happened. And when things went south, there was nobody there to right the ship. And I asked him, I said, are you one of the leaders? And he talked about that being some truth last year, and he talked about so many sophomores that are going to have to play for this football team. He liked the talent, but they're going to be young, and that's the key to Michigan State, because, tell you what, I think Indiana's going to be pretty good. And it's hard to believe that Michigan State could fall, but if Indiana's pretty good, there's no room. There's no room for Michigan State. There's Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana. Mm-mm. That's Michigan State in the five hole ahead of Maryland and Rutgers, and that doesn't look good for the Spartans. They've got some talent, but I think they're going to be a year away. Obviously, they're going to win more than three games, but next year, look out, because they're really going to be experienced. I compare them to Ohio State last year. Mm-hmm. Of course, as far as the numbers coming back, not talent and what they can accomplish here. I mean, Ohio State's got so many kids coming back this year. Michigan State may have one more year of not getting where they used to be.
Well, and it's, you just usually don't have Michigan and Michigan State coexist for an 8 or 9 win or better total. It just hasn't ever happened. That's hard to figure out. Doug Duitt is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Doug, about 90 seconds. What do you expect from Nebraska tomorrow? And this is a question we're going to spend some time on. Is Nebraska still a factor in the Big Ten, specifically with the peer respect level? Do you think teams still, I don't want to say fear, but respect Nebraska as they head into 2017? Where's Nebraska on the radar, and how do you think it'll shake out tomorrow? What do you expect from Riley?
Well, Nebraska, Iowa still should have something to play for. Everybody talks about, you know, when you ask them, or they talk about other places in the Big Ten, Wisconsin loves coming to Nebraska, so we've got that this year. They have to play Ohio State and Penn State. I think they can be competitive. I think they can win every other game. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be favored in every other game. And again, with Chris Jones going down, they don't have a true first-team all-conference guy. But if they're going to win 10 football games, they will at the end of the year. Just a lot of pieces have to come together. I think they're there, but a lot of things got to click, and sometimes you need a little luck. And I think outside of that Michigan State game a couple of years ago, Nebraska still has a bouncer key still coming their way. So I'm not on board with the folks of 6 and 7 wins. I think they'll be a better football team than that. But Oregon could tell a lot, and the biggest game of the year is Wisconsin, because if they can win that, they have a chance, no matter what, to win the West.
Yeah, you got to do that, and their crossover games, two of the three are ugly with Ohio State and Penn State. Doug Duitt is with us. Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN 1550 and 1460, Kearney Hastings Grand Island ESPN Superstation. We're proud to be on those airwaves, and we're proud to have Doug on from Chicago, getting us caught up on day one of Media Days. Doug, we'll talk soon. We'll get your thoughts here before kickoff gets around the corner. And thanks for giving us a few minutes from Chi-Town. Where are you going tonight? 10 seconds.
We got to find a good steak, brother. We played it. We played it close to the vest last night. It's big steak night.
Okay, I want a picture. Send it to me.
All right.
There we are. Doug Duitt, thanks, man. Appreciate you, Doug.
Thanks, buddy.
There he is, Doug Duitt, joining us. We'll remember Sam Fultz, Robbie Trent, Southeast Lincoln Director of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Robbie Trent with us next on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time to punt for Nebraska. And we led at the top of our telecast, the Huskers mourning the tragic loss of punter Sam Fultz. And as you see, they line up here. A poignant reminder of how fragile life can be. how a dear teammate will never be forgotten. With points towards the sky, one man short in the formation, but he will forever be in the hearts and minds of Husker fans.
Back with Yale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Southeast Lincoln Director of FCA, Robbie Trent, with us as we remember Sam Foltz. A year ago yesterday, Sam passed away, as many of you know, and Robbie was there with so many of the student-athletes to provide support and caring. Robbie, thanks for a few minutes today. I wanted to start and say thanks for what you've done with so many, with your outreach, but wanted to get your reaction and kind of response to how the last year has been for you when it comes to trying to be there and comfort so many.
Well, thanks for the time, fellas. I really do appreciate that. And a sobering day. I know that it was around this time where we were all grieving and thinking of Tyron Williams stepping out amongst his peers and saying, we got to do something about this, and really leading toward that prayer vigil outside the stadium and Coach Riley's approval of that. I'm grateful for his leadership. And, yeah, ton of emotions. So thanks for the opportunity.
What's the last year been like for you, Robbie, with just how you've been able to grieve yourself and also kind of process the last year with the season, how close you are to so many guys on the team that have been part of FCA or still part of FCA, and how have you been able to manage?
Well, I'll be honest, God is gracious. There are definitely times when it's challenging and hard when you think of just how fragile life is, and to know that Sam's no longer here, but I definitely find hope that he's with the Lord, and his faith in Christ was tremendous, and definitely found hope that regardless of his performance on the field or off the field, that before God, his only hope was the performance of Christ. So I'm thankful for that, and that definitely is encouraging at times. And when I think of the team, there's been a number of things that really stood out. That, you know, three big things when I evaluate this past year, and definitely want to honor the coaches and the athletes and not really disclose anything that doesn't need to be disclosed.
Sure.
But generally speaking, I think three things: humbled, unified, and really have done a lot of reflection. When I think of being humbled, I think the typical mindset of the collegiate athlete is I'm invincible, right? It's very easy to think that you're Superman and you're untouchable. But when a guy who had everything going for him comes to an unfortunate end here physically, it causes all to stop. And I think a lot of the members of that team have been humbled and reminded that tomorrow's not promised, and it's definitely need to make the most of today, but we aren't invincible. And when I think of being unified, we saw it there at that prayer vigil where guys were leaning on guys, hugging on guys, praying with each other and crying together. That's something you don't typically see. We get a locker room setting or wherever, and guys that don't normally connect were connecting. And then we relive that emotion at the funeral, and first time the punt unit goes out missing a member, a vital member of that squad. And throughout the season, different times when Sam was honored, you saw a unity and a depth of relationship there that you typically don't see. And as hard as that is, I think that's something God has used for good. And yet his death has become a cause for reflection. And I think many players are wrestling with, well, if it's bigger than football, then what is my hope for the future? What's the hope for the rest of my life? And from an FCA vantage point, what's your hope for eternal life? What happens after death? And many have wrestled with that. And in conversations with different coaches and players, I keep coming back to what Tyron Williams read there during the prayer vigil. And he read a passage out of John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And this is the account where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I mean, Tyron picked a perfect one. in verse 25, John chapter 11, verse 25, he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Christ has shown that he has power over the natural and supernatural world, and if we would simply believe in him, that even if we come to a horrible ending, as Sam did here in the physical world, that there is an eternal life that we can have in disregarding everything, all of our hope and our performance, but definitely putting our hope in Christ, that there is a life to come that we can enjoy with the Father. And so as many guys have reflected, I'm just humbled by how the reflection gets us out of just thinking about football or just thinking about this day here and now. But God says to the question, what is my hope for tomorrow, and what is my hope ultimately for life after death?
So you mentioned Kyron Williams, Robbie. Were there some other guys that you noticed that really took a leadership role after Sam's death that really kept the team together?
I appreciated Graham Nabity. He stepped up big time there at the prayer vigil, but also throughout the year in that post-game prayer. And I know a number of guys looked to him and just asking questions. And Graham, like, where do you have joy? Where do you have hope? And I know that he was able to really stand there in the gap. Gabe Ron, another great example. I mean, a natural gut-level first reaction when you score your first touchdown. That wasn't for show. He's pointing to his Savior and saying, thanks, this is awesome. I know Bo Kittrell and others, those guys are in the trenches every day working out and trying to honor the Lord and love their teammates extremely well. So those are guys that Jake Weinmaster, I don't know, many others. There's a lot of guys that have stepped up in a real way.
Robbie Trent's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Southeast Lincoln, director of FCA. We're remembering Sam Fultz, and Robbie helped a lot of folks get through and continues to help folks get through the loss of Sam. Robbie, about a minute left here, and thanks for giving us time today. What's coming up with FCA in the area?
Well, two things, fellas. One, we have the coaches clinic at North Star. Many coaches from across the state will be there. Just want to serve and encourage how to make the most of your influence as a coach. And then each year, our Weekend of Champions is actually at the alma mater of Sam Fultz there at Grand Island Senior High each November. And so November 4th and 5th, great opportunity for coaches and athletes across the state to connect and see how to make the most of their influence and really honor the Lord with their faith in sport. So if you have any questions, NebraskaFCA.org. But again, this isn't about me today, fellas. Sure. I really want to honor Sam and his family and that team and just praise the Lord for how he continues to use it for good, even though it hurts like crazy.
Robbie, God bless. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Robbie Trent with us, Hale Varsity Radio. A quick timeout. We will wind down hour one with Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Thanks to Robbie Trent with us. Also, Doug Duda from Chicago. 10 minutes away, Charlie McBride. Brandon Vogel from Chicago. So, closing the gap. Is there still a gap to the SEC? Is the Big Ten the best there is? The best of the best? And we remembered Sam Fultz and talked with the FCA director for the Southeast Lincoln section, Robbie Trent, as Robbie was there for so many players last year, and still there for so many other guys, thinking about Sam as he passed away a year ago. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Let's hear from Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio. Cut eight here, TJ. And, you know, they're one of the wild cards. With this bigger discussion about the Big Ten being the best conference, in order to validate that, you need Sparty to be better and back. You need Nebraska to be playing in New Year's Day bowl games. There's still work to do. You had four teams finish in the top 10, so that was fine. But it can still get better. You could, because of how loaded and how big the conference is, 14 teams. Theoretically, you could have seven finish in the top 25. You had five or six finish in the top 25 when it came to recruiting rankings last year. But the next step for the Spartan program, here's Mark D'Antonio today.
Well, I think as leader of a football program, you're always trying to sit there and try and figure out what's the next step for your program. And obviously, when I sat there for quite a while trying to figure out, okay, what is that next step? How do we reunite ourselves? So we have recentered ourselves. The education component is there in every aspect that we deal with off the field. We've reestablished ourselves in terms of who we are as a program and what we're trying to do as people right now. We've had a lot of success here. You know, as I said just a minute ago, we took a step back, and now it's very, very important that we plant our foot in the ground and drive forward. And that's been our message, you know.
I do know. You did take a step back last year. How do you take a step forward and reevaluate? They just got away from being who they are and who they recruit. Now, from a Nebraska standpoint, who's Nebraska? Nebraska's still trying to figure themselves out.
Oh, yeah.
An identity.
That is the main identity.
Yeah, the identity is going to be pro-style quarterback that can find teammates open. Defensively, you're going to keep dudes out of the end zone, theoretically, and give three instead of seven, and you're not getting any big plays. But that's kind of the result of being good, if it works. But from a physical standpoint, can you be a team that's respected and feared in the trenches? Michigan State has built up, when they've been good, to be a team that you fear in the trenches. Ohio State, yes. Iowa, yes. Wisconsin, for sure. But can you be a consistent team along the trenches? And that's up to the O-line. Mike Riley and the gang tomorrow from Chicago. Your chance. Greg Smith has done such a great job with recruiting. Jacob Padilla, Brandon Vogel. We'll get you a subscription now, six-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com. Premium content, message boards, recruiting analysis, inside info, and, of course, all the Chicago goodness you want from Hale Varsity, the premium stuff. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. A six-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776. Coach McBride next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It is that time. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus, protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, taking care of your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. And Emeritus keeping their promises for 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers and proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing?
Good.
Good.
It's been a good day.
I bet. The rest of the Big Ten's in Chicago. Your old stomping grounds and media days are kicked off. And
Oh, brother.
Yeah, brother's about right. Did you enjoy media days? I mean, you coached a long time, and you coached at some different spots. Is it something you looked forward to, or is it something you just kind of put up with?
Oh, I think it's kind of, you know, you meet other people, new people that are in the league that are right, and it's kind of fun. You know, it's probably a little bigger wear on the players than it is the coaches, you know, but you know, it's a lot of fun to meet new people and hear what they have to say and whatever. You know, there's so many different opinions. It doesn't change. That's one thing that hasn't changed.
Yeah. Well, there's biased opinion, but still a respected opinion by Urban Meyer. We spent a little time in the show today talking about who's the best conference right now, and Sports Illustrated came out over the weekend proclaiming the Big Ten is the best conference in college football. And Urban Meyer was asked about it today, and Urban's coached in the SEC East when the SEC East was really, really good. It was really good because of him and Tennessee being good, and you had Georgia, and you get my point. What do you think about his thought that, that there's really not much gap anymore between the SEC and the Big Ten? You can measure performance 100 different ways. Who's sending guys to the NFL? Who's winning head-to-head? All those things. But what do you think here, Coach? What conference is most impressive to you right now?
Well, number one, even though we were in the Big 12 and, in the Big 8 and so on, I was at Wisconsin. I think, year in and year out, you have to look at all of the things, the facts. And I think one of the biggest things that he probably has in mind is the graduation rates and the kids that come out of here. Mm-hmm. And also the players in the Big 10 that go out early or some but seem to come back.
Mm-hmm.
The education, I think, in the Big Ten is really meaningful. Not that it isn't at other schools, mm-hmm. but, it really is a, kind of a special thing. And when you're recruited in that, in that conference, that's probably one of the things that he's, that he wants to put in there. But he probably, I don't know if he came out with that mm-hmm. at all or just the fact that, the consistency of the Big Ten is starting to return. And back in the old days, you didn't know who's going to win on Saturday. There were a few weak sisters, but, they'd always come up with a big win. I mean, we were a good team at Wisconsin at one time when I was coaching there. And, we did beat Nebraska and we did beat Penn State. And Penn State at that time was, one of the top schools because they were independent. They had the whole East Coast sewed up, so they had a ton of good players.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. When we're talking conferences, who's the best conference? And Big Ten has done a really nice job of not just gaining ground, but maybe surpassing. And you look at the coaches in the league between Urban and Harbaugh and mm-hmm. Antonio and Riley. And I want to spend a minute or two on Wisconsin. And you know that program well mm-hmm. because of your time at Wisconsin, but also Barry Alvarez. And once Coach Alvarez got there from Notre Dame, he pretty much took what you guys in Nebraska were doing and he had done under Devaney and brought it to Wisconsin, and they're still rolling with it. Does that surprise you that the blueprint is still in use and is so effective?
Well, I think when Barry got there, I think the whole Donna Shalala became the president,
yep.
and the whole financial aspect changed to the university. When I was there, actually couldn't donate any money to athletics. It went to the university, and they gave you what they felt like, kind of.
Wow.
So you never were able to really catch up in many areas and, facilities. And to go back, when I was the offensive line coach at the time, but I walked in the office one day, and all of a sudden I was the weight coach, or would I go down there and watch him. I mean, there was hardly any supervision. I mean, it was crazy. So, I just joined him. I just went down and worked out after practice every day. And, that might have helped me. I don't know. But it sure didn't help me coach. I know that. But, they have this conference now, what it is today. It's a big deal. And I think you're looking at some young coaches that are really, really good people, and it's hard to find the right fit for any university. Who knows what's going to happen at Oklahoma? Even though the offensive coordinator was there, it's hard to match Bobby's personality and things like that. And things do change. Whether it's for the good or for the worst, who knows? But, every school, I think, has got a plus, in that manner with the coaches factor. I think that you know, naturally the Big Ten. When I was a kid, the Big Ten was, 3 yards of a cloud of dust and physical. I mean, there wasn't a more physical conference in college football than the Big Ten back in the old days, where they used to just line up, play smash mouth.
I still think it is extremely physical. Coach, what do you think, and what's the word on the Nebraska program from people you know and can talk to about the Big Ten? Is there still a pretty high level of respect for Nebraska as a team? I know the brand and the history is respected, but the current team now, do you think teams fear Nebraska anymore?
Well, I think what people have done is they've tempered themselves a little bit. I've talked to people that it's kind of a wait and see how we're going to do, I think it's just the improvement. Nebraska fans, sure, if you improve, they know that things are coming, and also recruiting. If you improve, it'll help your recruiting if you have something to go on there, just in the improvement of the season, whether it be a conference championship. Or whether you go on and play in a national championship. But, it's improvement, I think, is probably what a lot of them are sitting around waiting to see. And, there's been a lot of discussion about run the football. They got quite a few good running backs, and they're going to have trouble making some decisions back there, I think. And because there's a little guy that's at the end of the train that probably is going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And so some of the guys better look out for their jobs. But, that's what happens in Nebraska. All of a sudden, you've got a kid to walk on. Look at you. You've already seen it in the last couple of years. I think it's opened Riley's eyes that all of a sudden, hey, one of his best receivers is a walk on and this and that and everything else. And you just don't want to get caught up in saying, well, that kid's going to walk on and he ends up going to Iowa or Iowa State or Notre Dame or Wyoming or something like that. And you just can't afford to lose players, in the state.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. It's Mondays with Charlie as we're talking a little bit about the upcoming Big Ten season. And, Coach, with Nebraska and the projection of them being in third in the West, do you remember years where Nebraska wasn't getting slaps on the back? They were kind of getting dirty looks. How did you use that as motivation?
If you're picked number one, you got the bullet on your back right away. And I think, a lot of that pressure goes on the players.
Yeah.
And they have some, when they see that, it's an incentive. I mean, it's great to be number one all the time. I mean, then you got, now you really better do it. But they're at a point now where they have to decide, the coaches can coach and the players will play. And the coaches, usually the losses aren't the players. I hate to say that. But a lot of times, it's an unseen coaching mistake, or it's something that happens that, it could be a little injury here or there that nobody knows about. And why isn't he in the game? And, why isn't he suited up? Or things like that happen all the time. And so it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other. It's, the game has gotten to a point now where, so many good players. I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot more, I think, athletic players than there have been in the Big Ten in quite a few years.
They are absolutely kind of differentiating themselves, Coach. You're right with the athleticism. And yeah. I want to end with this. Just what you're watching now as a guy who's spent his life in football, and you have two factors that are getting perfected in my mind. One is the dual threat quarterback. Two is that hybrid tight end where he can block and run like the wind or be an H-back. And the guy I'm thinking of is kind of the Curtis Samuel kid that was at Ohio State that's with Carolina. He wasn't a tight end per se, but he was a nightmare to try and defend for everybody. From a defensive standpoint, What can you do to slow down the dual threat quarterback and then that tight end that they can flex out on you?
Well, the tight end's a little better to predict in that you can find out what, you know, he really is good at running.
Sure.
What patterns is he good at running and things like that. The quarterback factor is, you know, I always said a kid can have great ability, but the real factor is he have availability, you know. So sometimes those guys, you know, they just have to take care of themselves. They can't all of a sudden decide, I'm going to be Bronco Nagurski and start ripping in there and rather than slide, and sometimes even not making a first down may save yourself a quarterback to the rest of the season. So because he'll guarantee you what, where they're aiming. I mean, they can't wait to see that guy run and get a piece of him. So, you know, that their head's hanging out all the time. And but I think, you know, that it for a defensive coordinator, you know you get a feel for what each one of those type of players does, and you'll see man-to-man teams are going to cover that, you know, put somebody out there that can cover that guy, or is he just a tight end speed guy, or is he a flyer? And if he is, then you might have to get another DB in the game, you know, and things like that will happen. And that's with the new defenses. There's a lot of people using IBAC. One time I think there was like 8 defensive backs I saw last year in college on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's the pro game is sneaking in the back door, and they're looking to. And I think, if you look at the running game in the NFL, it's taken a lot from the college game. Mm-hmm. So it goes back and forth. They look at our film and so on and so forth. And of course, people see them during the year, and they see them on TV all year, you know, with this NFL network and stuff. But most of the time, the teams that have depth and have things like that are the ones that are going to, you know, come out long in the run. If you have a backup quarterback that's, you know, can do it, can step in a game and, you know, don't miss a step, that's where you're really, then you know, and they know, and they may be 2 different kinds of quarterbacks, and you've got to get ready for both kinds. Maybe you got to, an athletic one, and then maybe you have a drop back or a pro style one. So you have to get ready because each one of those has plays that he accelerates and they usually can try to find out after a few years. If they're around long enough, they'll figure something out.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, enjoy your week, and we'll get caught up next Monday. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Camp.
I hope I'm there.
Me too, Coach. We love you. And we'll get caught up, and camp will be underway. So we'll have something to talk about. Appreciate it so much.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We were running out of time, but I really wanted to ask him how many fish he caught this weekend. Because he's in that boat on that lake up there in Michigan. And I'm pretty picky about what type of fish I eat and whose fish I'm eating and is it beer battered or not. And I have a feeling Coach McBride's fish be pretty good. So we'll have to do that sometime. Hey, remember me? Yeah. Sorry I didn't call first. Can I have some of your fish? Chicago. Italian beef, deep dish pizza, Brandon Vogel, and Big Ten football. That is next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. We head to Chicago. Hail Varsity's Brandon Vogel joining us at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how was the pep talk in the huddle with Team Hail Varsity in Chicago this morning? Did you get the guys fired up?
Well, none of us got here till this afternoon, so it was an afternoon huddle, and we were kind of right in the middle of things. So, no, the hardcore game planning is more going to happen tonight, hopefully over a pizza.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. What's Duda said he's going to get a steak. You're doing pizza tonight, correct?
Well, that tends to be, in past years, the first night has always been pizza night, so I haven't seen any reason to switch it up.
I like it. What are your impressions from Big Ten Media Days, day one in Chicago? I want to start off with kind of the theme we've been going with, and TJ has yet to see Top Gun, but it's the old Iceman versus Maverick, the best of the best. Urban's response to the question today about, you know, has the Big Ten closed the gap on the SEC? And the response, you know, paraphrasing, what gap? You know, you think the Big Ten is made that move. How do you feel about it?
I would agree, and I think a large part of the reason the Big Ten has closed that gap, and there was a gap to be closed. You can have conference pride and dispute that, but it was there. And a large part of the reason is the guy answering the question. You know, Urban Meyer kind of came in here. Ohio State's always been what Ohio State has been, but elevated Big Ten recruiting, and I think did it to such a degree that you saw other programs say, well, you know, we have to kind of close down that gap between us and the Buckeyes. And you look at the conference now, you've got a group of very good coaches. Programs have invested in coaching salaries. And it does feel like a different conference. Now, you know, all these coaches get that question because people like us tend to see it and they kind of deflect it. But I do think it's there.
Yeah, so I tend to agree that you could go either way, Big Ten and SEC being the best conference right now. And I kind of just look at overall depth for me. I just think teams like Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Kentucky, they're still better than the teams at the bottom, like a Rutgers, Purdue, or Illinois. And speaking of Illinois, Lovie Smith spoke to People today. You just put a column up about maybe 10 minutes ago. Can you explain to the listeners out there what Lovie Smith means by ricing the football?
Yeah, I enjoy talking to Lovie Smith. You know, for guys that have been in the NFL, they are very much seasoned pros at these sorts of things. But he's really good. So this year, Illinois is trying to pull from a little bit of its pretty deep history. You know, for younger football fans, they probably don't think of Illinois football very much, but they rank fourth in the Big Ten in conference titles. They've been there a couple of times. So they're adding a Red Grange sticker for players on offense, adding a Dick Butkus sticker for players on defense. And when you strip the ball at Illinois, it is called ricing the football in honor of Simeon Rice. So I just found that to be a sort of amusing antidote.
That was good. I like that. And Lovie knows his Illinois history. And those are two good little celebratory stickers to throw on your helmet. The Galloping Ghost or Mr. Butkus. I love that. Now, Vogues, let's spend a second here on Nebraska. And I know that some of the guys have kind of been traipsing around there. So Nebraska's there already. Their official day is tomorrow. Coach Riley's there. What's your feedback or impression or buzz level been on Nebraska from Big Ten folks, either fellow media members covering other teams or some other teams themselves? I mean, is Nebraska still a factor, still kind of respected, or are they looking for respect? Now, we're going into year six in the league. Where's Nebraska kind of stand with others in the conference right now?
Yeah, you know, I don't get a sense that there's a ton of buzz because I think people, you know, throughout the conference, much like us, kind of look at Nebraska and say, well, what's here? You know, just with the amount they have to replace and all of these things that we've been talking about all summer, are there for everyone else. You know, Paul Christ was asked in some roundabout fashion what he thinks about Nebraska. He said, well, it's kind of hard to tell. They got a brand new quarterback and they're making the transition to defense. So I'm sort of in the same boat all you guys are. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow. I think Tanner Lee, I'll be real interested to see what it's like around him just as a totally new face in the conference and as a guy who has quite a bit of, you know, people know what he could mean for the Huskers. So I'll be interested to see how that goes.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Factor-wise with Nebraska, The team's still look at Nebraska, and I'm kind of following up last question. I know there's a monster wait and see, but do you think there's this oh crap thought, that bubble thought that goes into a team's mind when they see Nebraska on the schedule? Is there that fear factor anymore?
No, I don't get that sense. And you know, and to be fair, you know, Nebraska hasn't put that in anyone. Maybe it was here the first year or two when Nebraska was still new and it was being brought on because of its prestigious football history. Mm-hmm. But now that you've played these teams a handful of times, you know, it's hard not to look at Nebraska as sort of just one of those Big Ten teams that's trying to get over the hump a little bit. And Michigan's still in that realm too, in terms of trying to get over the hump, hasn't won a conference title in, I think, 12 years or so. But with Jim Harbaugh's sort of star power, and I think the way they've recruited, they've been able to earn a little bit of that respect. And some of that comes with just being in the conference too. But for Nebraska so far, when you just look at its Big Ten resume, I don't think the opposing teams and players and coaches have a reason to feel that way.
Vogues, you get a chance at all to listen to any of DJ Durkin? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but are you a little high on the Terrapins this year?
I am high on the Terrapins, and I spent a good 10-15 minutes at Durkin's station there, just because I think he's a great football coach, and I like listening to him talk football. We talked a little bit about explosive plays and turnovers and what he values. He talked a lot about recruiting and how Maryland's recruited. So there's some good stuff in there.
Vogues, let me spend a couple of minutes here on Iowa and Wisconsin. Anything of note from either of those teams? It was their session today. Anything stick out to you?
Yeah, I didn't get the chance to spend a lot of time with the Iowa representatives, but I did with Wisconsin, and you know, we're working on a couple of things there. You know, Jacob Padilla is working on a story about, he talked to their linebackers about playing in a 3-4, so which will obviously have a Nebraska tie. And I'm working on something on sort of Wisconsin's approach. You know, last year everybody kind of wrote them off despite their history of being so consistent just based on schedule. And this year they enter things as kind of far and away the West Division favorite. So have some stuff coming up on that. Chris talked about just the Badgers' approach and why Wisconsin has been able to remain so consistent over the years. And it was interesting, you know, he kind of put it towards the players, which, you know, I think from afar people look at that a lot and say, well, Barry Alvarez is a constant there, which is true. But, you know, his comments there kind of surprised me a little bit.
So, Vogues, Jim Delaney is allowing Big Ten teams, if you only have four conference home games that year, to schedule FCS teams. I actually thought that was a good idea not to schedule them. I thought that kind of helps your non-conference quota. But do you think FCS teams have gotten better and that's why he's doing this, or just kind of helping out with the scheduling?
Yeah, I think it's just too hard to find games, to particularly to find teams that are willing to come for just one road game and really get nothing but a paycheck in return. Now it's a pretty sizable paycheck. So, you know, I think you go to the nine conference games, and then to allow the team to play FCS schools probably evens things up when you look at the other Power Five conferences that are out there. You know, the SEC has sort of famously stated eight, and I think it's a competitive advantage to do that, to stay at eight. So being able to add an FCS team in there probably helps the Big Ten a little bit just from the national competition angle.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine in Chicago, Big Ten Media Days. Vogues, kind of run down who's on hand from Hale Varsity, and give folks kind of a outline as to what they'll be able to find on HaleVarsity.com from the team members, from yourself here the next 24, 48 hours when it comes to Nebraska coverage and the rest of the Big Ten.
Yeah, so we've got a full crew here. I think the most people we've ever had at Big Ten Media Day. So I'm here, obviously. Greg Smith is here. Jacob Padilla is here. And then Derek Peterson, this is actually his first official event as a member of the team. is joining us later this evening. He recently graduated from Oklahoma, their journalism program, but is from Nebraska originally. So I'm pretty excited for people to get to see some of his work. You know, other than that, Greg and Jacob and I are kind of putting our heads together. It's a fun time to sort of be here and kind of plan out and say, well, here's what we're hoping to get. What did you get? And figuring out how it all puts together. So all three of us are working on stories right now that kind of have some Nebraska links, but look at the Big Ten as a whole. And then tomorrow will be sort of wall-to-wall Nebraska.
Have you ran into your buddy PJ yet?
I haven't. I've heard that he was immaculately dressed, so he may show up tomorrow. I'm expecting big things in the Big Ten power tie power rankings.
Are you showing up tomorrow in a life jacket?
No, but somebody should.
Okay, I'm just double checking. We'll take a picture of the pizza tonight and send it out. Dude is sending the steak. I need a picture of the pizza, and I need some sort of taunting to go on since you're in Chicago.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, man, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Later.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. In Chicago, on site, thoughts on Media Day, Greg Smith, Jacob Padilla, and then Derek Peterson. The gang from Hail Varsity, along with Brandon. Sure to log on HailVarsity.com and get that hooked up. 30-day free trial offer. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Can do that and get all your Big Ten fix, your recruiting goodies with the gang there. And be sure to check that out. Good stuff coming from Greg Smith, Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, Brandon Vogel. That's four, man. That's an infield of knowledge and talent for you from Hail Varsity in Chicago. We'll send it back to Chicago when we return. More thoughts from Coach D'Antonio, more thoughts from Urban Meyer, and yes, Kirk Ferentz speaks. What'd he say? You know, you'll have to hear his reaction to having Coach Bull in Wyoming on the schedule. More from Chicago. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
The real thing. Thank you, Will Ferrell. DJ Heading, Chris Schmidt. More from Chicago. As you had day one of Media Days, all over Nebraska tomorrow. Coach Riley, Tanner Lee, Chris Weber, Aaron Williams. Get locked in for you on Hail Varsity tomorrow. More from, well, the coaches that spent some time. Paul Chris didn't want to be there. Tom Allen hates Friday Night Football. Mark D'Antonio, you'll hear in a minute about how I've been awesome and this program's risen to a new level because of me. Don't question me. He was much nicer, but that was the gist of it.
Go
but
green.
Well, thank you. But how about Kirk Ferentz? And first of all, politely asked about his reaction to being the old dude at the bar. It's, you know, age-wise, he's a 40-plus-year college football coach veteran at the 20-year-old watering hole of the PJ Flex of the world, okay? He's the old guy at Iguanas. But he was asked about his tenure, not only in Iowa, but he is the oldest active coach, not age, but tenure, in college football.
Oh, yeah, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it. Bob's a really, think he'd consider each other to be good friends. Bob was a player.
Him and Stoops.
When I got there in 1981, he was a junior and a captain on the 82 ball club. And then we worked together 4 or 5 years before he went to Kent State. So Bob's a tremendous guy, you know, and just he's done an unbelievable job at Oklahoma. Great job as an assistant. And then when he had his opportunity at Oklahoma, just has been, you know, fantastic for that institution. Certainly good for college football, really good for college football. So we've, in my mind, lost one of the good coaches in this game, one of the best coaches that has ever coached. But I'm happy for him. He's totally at peace. We've talked. I saw him a week ago. And then Bob Elliott again just I think these are all reminders just how precious life is and how precious opportunity is. So, you know, I just kind of feel very, very fortunate. It's my this would be my, I guess, 28th year at Iowa, and feel fortunate that, you know, in 1981, somehow, some way, I ended up there as an assistant.
He was asked the question, what's it like to still be at the same place now that Stoopsie's gone?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do that again.
Oh.
Is that a sigh? Is that a yawn?
No, it was, you know, it was,
Oh, yeah.
Give me more of that.
Oh, that's, man.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
He must have really had to think about that question, man. He was just pondering.
Dennis Dodd, top rope chair. Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
Now, he is a little PO'd about his AD schedule in North Dakota State a year ago, for sure. And he ain't real happy about seeing Coach Bull in Wyoming.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who scheduled that game, actually.
Somebody who hates you.
You know, Wyoming was struggling a little bit years ago, and Coach Bull's done an unbelievable job, no big surprise, but just a tremendous job bringing that program back in short time and building it step by step. And that's, anybody that's familiar with the work that he did at North Dakota State, I think it would not come as a surprise. And but is it, what is a surprise a little bit is that quarterback. He's, you know, just a fantastic football player. He's got a really interesting story. And but the bottom line is he played great last year. But it was more than just him. They have an excellent football team. They were division champs. And, you know, we expect a real tough battle in our first contest. So it's we're going to need to be ready.
Good opener. I mean, that isn't good because they play Iowa State following. And then some words of advice for Akram Wadley. He thought about going to the NFL last year. Not so much. He is back. He's really good. He's kind of beat up Nebraska. But he thought about the NFL, and he was told to slow his roll.
Yeah, there was some talk of that at the end of last year. I know he gave a little bit of thought to it. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. I thought that was a little bit premature. And you know, we've been with Akram now for 4 years. I've coached in the National Football League. And I think we were aware of some of the things that we felt like he needed to do. And it's really been fun. Akram is a very talented young guy, a little bit like Matt Vandenberg. Both of them were undersized when they showed up at our place 4-plus years ago. But they both have worked extremely hard. And in my mind, the turning point for Akram was the 2015 season. We were playing up here on the road. Without LaShawn Daniels, who was out with an injury, then Jordan Canzari went down early in the game, and that was the day that Akram really took a major step forward, I think, in his performance. He just understood we needed him, we were counting on him. He delivered beautifully, and since that time, he's just grown with each and every week. So he's a very talented guy. He's a more mature, physically mature player than he was a year ago at this time, which I think will let him play at a higher level in our conference. And, you know, like all of our players, you hope they all grow and improve, and he's certainly done that. So, you know, we think he's poised to have a tremendous year. He's got a great attitude, loves football. He's good with his teammates, and I'm thrilled he's on our football team. So, you know, we're all keeping our fingers crossed. For us to have a successful season, we certainly need our best guys to play their best, and he's certainly one of our best players.
You know, you ask about Nebraska and what certainty is there. You don't have a lot. That's one certainty for Iowa, Swadley, and what he can do at running back. Urban Meyer. Let's go to Urban. He kind of ended things and his thoughts on Kevin Wilson, the impact Wilson will have on this offense. Now, what they're going to do this year is kind of control what is comfortable with Barrett. That's tempo, and that is just some passing. They're not going to reinvent the wheel here, but thoughts on Wilson by Urban Meyer.
Kevin Wilson's the first established offense coordinator I've ever hired. You know, if you go through the history, it's either guy's been promoted on my staff or a young and up-and-comer like a Tom Herman. But this is a veteran coach that's led some of the top offenses in America, very well respected in our profession. So he's had a lot of input in our offense. The other guy that came with him, Ryan Day, is another guy that was with me in Florida, and he's a star in coaching. He's his relationship with JT and the rest of the quarterbacks is very strong. So it's still going to be the Ohio State offense. However, we had some weaknesses a year ago, and I'd like to see some improvement. And I think Kevin's going to have a major impact.
Okay, what does Kirk Ferentz think of Kevin Wilson?
Oh. Oh. Oh.
That's so wrong.
Man, I just...
Oh.
I can't believe you responded like that.
Oh.
You just really had to think about that one.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I'm going to stop.
Providing the entertainment today. Kirk Ferentz. I like it. Ferentz, would you choose steak or pizza in Chicago?
Both.
Both. Which, you got to go deep dish pizza in Chicago. Man.
No,
come
we did a couple years ago. It was fantastic.
I think he's craving it too.
Okay, that's enough. Please, head hurts. Fine. My chest hurts. More from Urban Meyer and maybe Kirk Ferentz before we say goodnight and goodbye on a beautiful Monday. Day one of Big Ten Media Days. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Oh.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Monday, day two, Media Day Chicago. We'll get it cranked up as Nebraska invades. A Royals update momentarily as the Chiefs, that's the wrong sport. The Kansas City Royals have made a move. First, though, 7 out of 10. That's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they've been using their safety belts, at a minimum, 69 alive today. And law enforcement agencies across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations. Click it or ticket. Please do so, as they'll be writing tickets for seatbelt and child restraint violations. Click it or ticket. Save lives. And obey the law. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads Highway Safety Office. Okay, the Kansas City Royals have sent a couple guys, pitchers Matt Strom and Travis Wood. Wood, I think, started yesterday and kind of got battered around after a good fourth inning by the Royals offense. Also, minor leaguer Ezra Ruiz. All of those guys have gone to San Diego. Minor league infielder Ezra Ruiz and pitchers Wood and Strom off to San Diego. The Padres have sent Trevor Cahill, Brandon Maurer, and Ryan Buchter, there we go, either way, to Kansas City. A quick analysis from the guy wearing the Chen shirt right now.
That's
TJ
right.
Henning.
Got the come on Chen shirt. Travis Wood has been pretty awful this year, so let's get him out of here. Matt Strom, he was good last year and then has not been as good this year. Struggled early. Got it back together a little bit, but then was also demoted again, so kind of been struggling with him. And I got to be honest, I've never heard of Estuary Ruiz, the infielder minor leaguer. But obviously the catch here, the guy you want is Trevor Cahill out of San Diego. Looking at his stats here, career 4 ERA, 3.69 ERA this year. Been a starter his first 6 years in the league. There's been a bullpen guy the last three, but now he was a starter again for San Diego. Look, the Royals need help. They need some more starting pitching or a long reliever at the bullpen because Travis Wood was just really bad at that for most of the year. So I like this. They need some pitching help, and they got it right here with Trevor Cahill. And we'll see if these other guys, Brandon Maurer and Ryan Buchter, can provide anything else.
Nope. And, you know, San Diego is not necessarily who you want to line up and trade with all the time just because they've not been awesome. But they aren't bashful about unloading people either. And let's just be straight. You shipped out dead weight or unproven talent right now.
Mm-hmm.
You've been patient enough if you're Kansas City – and to get that upgrade per se, good.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted the Royals to stand pat at the trade deadline, but I understand when you lost Nate Carnes for the season, one of your starting pitchers, that maybe you'd go and get somebody else because this is kind of your final ride with these guys. And to me, you're not giving up a whole lot here to get Trevor Cahill, so I'm completely fine with it.
Well, good enough. All right, are you interested? Anxious, excited for Media Days tomorrow with Nebraska? I am. I'm anxious, first and foremost, if we'll learn anything on Stanley Morgan. That is, is there punishment? Is there missed time around the corner? Because that'll be asked tomorrow. And if there's not a decision yet, that's fine too. Camp has not started. But at least it'll be asked, hopefully, tomorrow, and you'll know. And I'm thinking week two is where is when you'll need him.
Okay.
All right, find us at 4 tomorrow. Great stuff, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Talk to you tomorrow again. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.